series of guided meditations, literary reflections, and meditative music for anyone going through a divorce or the loss of an important relationship. I'm Daniel Todd, a writer and recently divorced parent, and one of the hosts of Raft.
And I'm Hannah Padalova, a relational therapist, divorced parent, and musician. The loss of an important relationship can set us adrift. We hope that through bibliotherapy techniques and guided meditations, we can offer a temporary resting place as you navigate both the turbulent waves and the unnerving still waters of relationship loss, finding healing and firmer ground.
In this episode, we're going to read and reflect on a poem by the Palestinian poet Taha Muhammad Ali called Revenge, and provide a guided meditation in the spirit of the Buddhist practice of metta, or what is sometimes called the loving-kindness meditation. Thank you for joining us. Revenge. At times I wish I could meet in a duel the man who killed my father and raised our home, expelling me into a narrow country. And if he killed me, I'd rest at last, and if I were ready, I would take my revenge. But if it came to light, when my rival appeared, that he had a mother waiting for him, or a father who'd put his right hand over the heart's place in his chest whenever his son was late, even by just a quarter hour, for a meeting they'd set, then I would not kill him, even if I could. Likewise, I would not murder him if it were soon made clear that he had a brother or sisters who loved him and constantly longed to see him, or if he had a wife to greet him and children who couldn't bear his absence and for whom his gifts would thrill, or if he had friends or companions, neighbors he knew, or allies from prison or a hospital room, or classmates from his school asking about him and sending him regards. But if he turned out to be on his own, cut off like a branch from a tree, without a mother or father, with neither a brother nor sister, wifeless, without a child, and without kin or neighbors or friends, colleagues or companions, then I'd add not a thing to his pain within that aloneness, not the torment of death, and not the sorrow of passing away. Instead, I'd be content to ignore him when I passed him by on the street, as I convinced myself that paying him no attention in itself was a kind of revenge. Revenge ultimately feasts upon itself. Revenge, reprisal, they can go on forever, adding more and more suffering and violence to the world around us and the world within us. How does one stop this perpetuation? The poet Edward Hirsch said that the chain of reprisal is broken in this poem by Taha Muhammad Ali, who is a poet from the Palestinian city of Nazareth. A desire for revenge stems from both anger and our innate desire to set things right. Neither of these emotions or desires are bad or wrong. There are times when anger is justified, and surely we are wired to desire justice if we have been hurt or wronged or made to suffer unnecessarily. It's perfectly natural to want justice, and the desire for revenge is a very natural emotion, one that we should pay close attention to and try to understand. But revenge is not the only way to achieve justice. In fact, I would argue that revenge can't accomplish any real justice. It only adds more suffering. We can easily empathize with the speaker in this poem. If anyone has reason for revenge, it's this person, whose father has been murdered and whose home has been burned to the ground. Recognition of his perpetrator's humanity and connectedness to the lives of others and to the world is what begins the transformation that happens in the poem. This transformation hinges on three lines that echo one another. If it came to light, and if it were soon made clear, and finally, if it turned out that. Each of these if phrases is an opening. Each represents a posture of curiosity, of a willingness to see a larger picture, a picture closer to reality than the pictures our emotions have created. It's easy to do violence to someone when they have been reduced to one thing, a label, say. If we simply think of a person as one thing, a traitor, a liar, a cheater, a thief, a moron, a Republican or a Democrat, we grow blind to the complexities of life in a way that diminishes life. This reduction of a person to one thing, this kind of labeling, is how genocides become possible. While that's a rare and extreme manifestation, it's one of the animating forces behind our desire for revenge. And when you add anger to the mix, even justified anger, the desire for revenge is totally understandable. In his book Wishful Thinking, A Theological ABC, the author Frederick Buechner says this about anger. Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick our wounds, to smack our lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. I think the key is to allow more and more to come to light, as we hear in this poem. To allow more to become clear to us. Allowing more light and clarity to enter our vision is an antidote to revenge. Perhaps it is the most powerful antidote we have.
Often thrown back to a time in our youth when we felt powerless and we were fighting for our younger selves. It is healthy to want to protect and defend yourself. At the same time, the situation you find yourself in now as an adult is one in which you have more agency, more wisdom, and more resources. It's difficult to realize this when you're in the grips of revenge, and it may be useful to tend to your young self first. This exercise is a derivative of the Buddhist practice called metta, also known as the loving-kindness meditation. What we are going to do differently is bring our focus to children, your own, if you have any, or yourself as a child, then an old childhood friend or classmate, and finally your former partner as a child too. Depending on where you are mentally and emotionally right now, this exercise might be too challenging. At the same time, you might be more receptive than you think. We suggest you try it, but be gentle with yourself, and if you begin to feel flooded with emotions, stop listening. Do something soothing. It's not always the right time to grow. Sometimes you need to stay put. If that means to let yourself feel angry, vengeful, enraged, it's perfectly all right. These emotions will pass eventually, and you can come back to this exercise. Let's begin. Gently close your eyes and try to think of yourself as a child or imagine your own child. As images arise in your mind, try to isolate a single image. Maybe it's from a memory or from a photograph. But try to look carefully at that image of yourself or your child. Try to bring to mind the fact that that little person who was you is still you. Or if you are imagining your child, that this small human depends on you, on your love for them, on your love for yourself. And now, try to speak directly to that child. Say this: may you be happy and safe and well nourished. May you feel a deep inner peace and contentment right here in this moment. And now repeat those same words. May you be happy and safe and well nourished. May you feel a deep inner peace and contentment right here in this moment. Take a few moments to connect with yourself as a child or with your own child, and feel free to repeat those words or some variation of them. Now, try to bring to mind the memory or an image of a childhood friend or a classmate. Take a few moments to let your memories come in. Wait for one image to stick. You don't have to be overly selective here. Try not to think too hard about this. When you find that person you knew, when they come clearly into your mind, try to remember their face. Focus on that. And now, speak their name and say to them, may you find happiness and nourishment. Whatever life has brought your way, I want you to be happy and well and at peace. Pay attention to the thoughts that are arising. Pay attention to your heart. If you find your mind racing, or if you sense a change in your heartbeat, take a few deep breaths and remind yourself that you are safe right now in this space. In these next few minutes, you're safe, and you're doing an important work. You're attempting to bring more loving kindness into your own being and into the world. And now, when you're ready, try to bring to mind your former partner as a child. Perhaps you can call to mind a photograph from when they were young and innocent. Or if not, then just imagine them on a playground or at a birthday party blowing out candles. Or imagine them swimming in a lake or in the ocean, or building a sandcastle. Whatever image you have in mind, try to stay focused on that image. And now, say this to them. May you be happy and at peace. May you find goodness and nourishment today and every day. Remind yourself that life has brought many difficulties to the both of you, and we are never quite as good as we would like to be. That's true for anyone that has ever lived. It's true for you, for me. It's true for your former partner.
Thank you so much for listening and joining us on this journey. This week's music is by Zach Winters. You can hear more of Zach's music at zachwinters.com. That's Z-A-C-H, winters.com. Zach is an amazing singer-songwriter, and he has a new book of poems out called Snow Melt to Roots. So check that out, too. Thank you again. And may you find peace and deep wells to drink from in the coming days.